Here we are on a Tuesday as Bulls Beat will be getting more and more focused on what's coming up as far as the spring sports. The fall sports that are now spring sports are all in practice mode. In fact, you'll hear in our second segment of this show my conversation with men's soccer head coach Bob Buthorn, whose team was the first to have its schedule posted. We'll get into what he thinks of their schedule setup again coming up. And speaking of that, Jolene Shepherdson's volleyball squad now has its schedule out there. We'll break that down for you in a little bit. And I plan on attending some volleyball practice, some men's tennis practice. Also going to swing by the softball field as they are already underway. And there's something called basketball still happening. Brian Gregory is speaking to the media late Tuesday morning, and we'll be speaking to you here on USF Bulls Unlimited, actually speaking to Jim Lighthall, and then you can hear it starting at 8 o'clock, the new version of the Brian Gregory Show. We're doing about 10 of these throughout the course of the year. It's an hour show where coach speaks to Jim for a couple segments on what's going on with the team, and an assistant coach and a player as well. So that will debut at 8 o'clock. If you can't hear it the first time, we'll give you plenty of chances to hear it on Wednesday and Thursday leading up to Thursday night's big game against the Houston Cougars. We'll do a little conference outlook too in this segment, plus some football news and some football reported news involving USF's staff, namely losing a couple of coaches that you'll want to hear, and that's coming up momentarily. And of course, honors for women's basketball. We'll play a few highlights of what made Elena Chinecki a member of the American Athletic Conference Weekly Honor Roll based on that performance against Houston. A little surprising that only one Bull got recognized. I usually don't have a problem with that, but I'll point out who should have been really on that weekly honor roll and who wasn't. But the player of the week in the conference, can't really argue with. Plus, it's a player that the Bulls are going to have to go up against on Wednesday night, so we'll really find out who's going to get the important accolades, but more on that in just a few minutes. Let's start off with volleyball and the announcement of the schedule on Monday, and kind of what we hinted at, if you were paying attention, especially with the release of UCF's schedule more than a week prior, and that is that there's just going to be a major different feel to the season, and not just because it's usually in the fall and is now in the spring. It is going to be shortened. You are not going to have a full conference schedule. It's just going to be a lot different. Normally, of course, volleyball is played in the fall, and normally teams build up to conference with basically four either tournaments or invitationals. Tournaments, of course, you play a certain team based on if you won your first match. Invitationals are you just know who you're going to play. But either way, you get in three matches is normally the case. For example, last year, Courtney Draper, no longer, of course, the coach of the Bulls, Jolene Shepherdson, is the new leader. But her team went to Miami and played three games, played FGCU, Auburn, and Miami. Remember that Auburn game, the Bulls lost the first couple sets, then really took Auburn to the wire, losing 17-15 in the fifth set. The next weekend was the Gator Invitational, where they played the 10th-ranked team in the country, along with Long Beach and James Madison. You get the idea. And overall, a full conference schedule as well of 16 matches, and the Bulls played 30 matches last year. Well, that conference schedule is going to be cut in half, and the overall schedule basically the same. 14 overall matches, none of these multi-team events that I referred to, and no matches against the West Division. With a little bit of a caveat, they actually are playing Tulane, but that is considered a non-conference couple of matches because of the fact that essentially the American is going to consider East Division, West Division completely separate. You play everyone in your division twice, and then the top two teams from each division make it to the conference tournament. Last year was the first time they held a conference tournament, and six teams got in. This time, it's just going to be four teams, and it's already set as far as where it's going to be. It's going to be in Cincinnati in early April, so this is going to be not only a shortened season, but obviously with fewer matches, it's going to be a from the calendar perspective, kind of stark in how short it is. Starts, though, for the Bulls, January 22nd. That would be next Friday. They're actually traveling to North Florida up in Jacksonville, UNF, and the same two teams will come back here and play at the Corral Saturday, January 23rd at 4 o'clock. I can tell you that we are going to plan to carry that match for you on USF Bulls Unlimited. Obviously, it's going to be a big-time matrix as far as figuring out the schedule and which matches and which sports will go on Unlimited and Unlimited 2, which ones we'll have to sort of pass off and tell you that ESPN Plus will be showing them. ESPN Plus, folks, is certainly going to be video streaming pretty much every single sport, and I'm not, you know, going to hide from that, and certainly don't consider ESPN Plus competition. I think in a positive way, I say that they're great to have. I love ESPN Plus. I use it a lot. It's wonderful to be able to, for example, watch an opponent as I do women's basketball play-by-play, watch their last game. It makes it so much easier to, you know, kind of get familiar with the players on the other teams. Now, as far as some people may be preferring video to audio, I get that, but I can tell you this, no matter who's calling the games on ESPN Plus, they are instructed, and I can give you a little insight here, to be impartial. You're not going to get that on Bulls Unlimited. You are going to get the Homer call, the USF-centric call, and I think that's the advantage that we have. But certainly not going to run from the fact that, yes, there's another outlet for you to check out the Bulls. And I think it's important because of the fact that there's going to be limited fans at games, that you have all sorts of avenues to be able to watch, and of course, in our case, preferably listen to the Bulls. And hopefully I don't have to tell you this, but if you're driving around, you cannot be watching a video. You have to be listening to USF Bulls Unlimited. My point is, all the matches that aren't on our stations, you can know that they will be video streamed on ESPN Plus. I think we're going to work together in certain ways, but we're a little bit off from being able to tell you about that. Now back to the schedule part of it. 14 matches, 7 opponents. That's basically it. The Bulls are going to have, well, home and home in the case of UNF, and the other 6 opponents, they are going to play on back-to-back days, and that is the long and the short of it. As a matter of fact, the Bulls only take, outside of that trip to Jacksonville, 2 road trips, and one is a bus ride to Orlando. Greenville, North Carolina at East Carolina is the other one, so they play 4 conference opponents as far as their actual ones that are going to count in the East Division. 2 are at home, and they get Cincinnati at home. That is a big deal, especially when you realize that only 2 of the 5 East Division teams are going to make the conference tournament. Temple being the other team that's coming to the Corral. Bulls will go to East Carolina and UCF. And Tulane, again, a quote-unquote non-conference couple of matches, also at the Corral. So you're going to get plenty of chances to catch the Bulls at home. The second weekend of the season is non-conference against FGCU. Again, that's a January 29th, Friday, 4 o'clock, next day, same time, 4 o'clock. And then the first conference matchup is in 2 weekends. So as it stands right now, the Bulls are off for a weekend. I don't know if they're planning on trying to add to the schedule or not, but their first conference matchups will be against Temple. 1 o'clock starts. I like that, by the way, because that, I'm sure, will not conflict with any other game, so I know we'll be able to carry those for you. Friday at 1 o'clock against Temple, that's February 12th, and then February 13th, Saturday, also 1 o'clock. That's kind of how it's going to go, with a couple of exceptions this year. If you want to check out the full schedule, go to GoUSFBulls.com. It does end the regular season in Orlando, Friday, March the 26th, and Saturday, March the 27th, with a couple of night matches against the Knights. And if you hit up GoUSFBulls.com, a nice article on the whole schedule with some quotes from Jolene Shepherdson, said it's been a bit longer coming than any of us expected, but we're very excited to return to competition, and I'll be talking to Jolene Shepherdson, at least that is the plan, on Tuesday, and you'll hear, of course, those comments on Wednesday's version of Bulls Beat. Gives you a little bit of a breakdown of the team. They do have some key and very big-time returning players. Jack St. Sin from Shorecrest, 6'3" outside hitter in the middle, 6'4". Sophomore Allie Barnhart, defensive specialist C.C. Clausen, and then returning from injury, they are really looking forward to getting middle blocker Michaela Washington onto the court, and Masha Maria, but definitely call her Masha Igilov, who is a transfer from Panola College, and she is a big-time setter for this team. You can just tell she's a leader. Really enjoyed talking to her. If you go back to some of our past shows, you can scroll down on our Unlimited Unloaded page and basically type in the name of almost anybody on the team, because I spoke to more than a half dozen of them at the photo shoot a few months back. That was a few months back. Now it's here, and we're ready to talk a little bit more about the team. Jolene Shepherdson, the new head coach, her director of player development slash husband, Aaron, what a great couple they are. Assistant coaches new also, Camille Jones and Jade Hayes, a couple of recent players. In fact, I think Jade still does the beach volleyball thing whenever she can. know if there's much on the schedule right now, but basically they look like they could still play, a very young, energetic, and ready to go USF Volleyball new staff. Starts off its schedule next Friday. Nothing posted yet, but I can tell you that there's a good chance that around the same time, or maybe even before, we are going to have the first golf and or tennis matchups, so stay tuned for that. Again, I'm going to run by tennis practice on Tuesday. The men are going in the morning. The women of Christina Moros also underway, and I know that their schedules begin next week, but we can go ahead and tell you that in the new episode of Shooting the Bull, man oh man, if you are a tennis fan, first of all, it's always a must listen. We post it to our Unlimited Unloaded page, and this last one, which posted Friday with TCU head coach David Roditi, unbelievable. I knew that he was a great coach. TCU gets to the Sweet 16 in college tennis, I think 6 years in a row. And of course, there's the connection with Ashley Fisher because he played with Roditi at TCU. That is their alma mater. I didn't know how great of a player he was at TCU or the fact that he represented Mexico in the Davis Cup. It is less than a half hour. If you love tennis or even like tennis or would appreciate some of these stories, going up against Boris Becker in the Davis Cup, but also what he did at TCU, leaving it all on the court. I'll just give you that little phrase. You'll see what I mean if you listen back to it. Check it out. But at the very beginning of the episode, Coach Fisher kind of spills the beans on the opener for the Bulls against a certain team from, oh, a few counties up in the middle of the state. That will be next week. Rhett Rollison, who is the volunteer assistant, is the host of the show. And then Ashley Fisher basically interviews TCU head coach and his former teammate, David Roditi. Check it out. You should know this, but Unlimited Unloaded is where we post the shows, hence we unload them later in the day that they air. It's on SoundCloud.com. Just type USF, you'll find it. Same thing with Apple Podcasts. But anyway, I'll be stopping by men's tennis practice, so want to keep an eye on them as well, as we're going to be doing many more interviews. Stay tuned in our next segment for Bob Buedhorn. Said that there is some news, or at least reported news, when it comes to the football staff. If you check out footballscoop.com, they posted an article on both the Bulls and the Knights having openings on their staff. If you want to get all the details there, they and other sources are saying that Pat White and the Bulls have parted ways. He was, of course, the running backs coach. We all knew who Pat White was. Frankly, if you paid attention to some of the things that were said by head coach Jeff Scott this year, it makes sense. It does sound like, and Charlie Weiss confirmed this whenever I spoke to him, that they want to go bigger when it comes to running backs. And you think of Pat White being a running backs coach, and we all know he was a quarterback. Maybe there's just not a fit there as far as the mold of what they're trying to get into the system. And you look at Clemson, and you see how big their running backs are in general. If you've been a Bulls fan, you know that most of their performers, I think Jordan Cronkite was a little bit of an exception, are more scat backs, combo backs. But anyway, the running backs coach, Pat White, looks like he is no longer with the Bulls, even though the school has not confirmed any of this, by the way. We should point it out to you. We should also point out that it looks like Wes Neighbors, who was the safeties coach, is going to take a job at Louisiana, the University of Louisiana in Lafayette. Of course, when this becomes official, we'll also let you know about that. Should acknowledge the end of the college football season, or at least the end of part of the college football season. I don't know about you, but I'm actually looking forward to having a college football season in the spring with an actual playoff, talking about the FCS. Don't forget about that, because that's the one where, you know, if you go undefeated, you know you're going to make the playoffs, unlike the FBS setup. But credit to Alabama. What a fantastic performance. 52-24. And yeah, Devontae Smith's not bad. And Nick Saban now passes Bear Bryant as far as all-time national championships with 7. Ohio State ended up as the second-ranked team by the AP, Clemson number 3. Interesting that the voters barely ended up with Texas A&M ahead of Notre Dame. That's how that went down. Cincinnati actually given some respect in the final rankings. The number 8 spot, BYU ended up 11, I see. Coastal Carolina 14. I mentioned that Louisiana team. Yeah, don't laugh. They went 10-1 and a final ranking of 15. Nice to see Liberty in there as well at 17. The only other conference teams to receive votes in the final polls, but not a final ranking, Tulsa at 27 and Memphis a few spots behind them. Speaking of rankings, your USF women's basketball team moves up 4 spots to number 16 in the country, and now 9-1 overall. Tough matchup coming up on Wednesday night for the Bulls. They have had their way with Tulane of late for the last, well, handful of years, but the Green Wave looked like they could be a handful, and they actually had the conference player of the week. If you listen to Around the American, that is posted now on our Unlimited Unloaded page, you'll see why Crystal Freeman got the honors over a Bull. Now, Elena Chenecki, with her 31-point performance against Wichita State, was certainly going to be part of the team. Now, remember, it's weekly honor rolls. If you just go by who had the best game, then Elisa Pinzon, with her 14 assists, would have definitely been on the weekly honor roll. She was not. Crystal Freeman had 2 outstanding games, both wins by Tulane. But Chenecki, yeah, you knew she was going to get on there.
Chenecki is wide open. She's had the hot hand today, and you could just tell that was going down. The bench knew it. Everybody knew it. She's already in double figures. It's 15-3. Leverett Manunga far from the basket. 5 on the shot clock. There's Chenecki for 3. They were waiting to get it to her. Boy, she is on fire right now. Leverett gives her a little look for a 3. That looks good, and it is. Elena Chenecki is unbelievable tonight. 8-10. 4-5 on threes, and 23 points, 2 away from her career high. Unopposed for the rebound, and it's 35-27. So once again, thank goodness for Elena Chenecki. And she drives in. She already has her career high. At least she's tied it. As Chenecki steps back for her own 3 and knocks it down. Elena Chenecki now with her career high and makes from 3 with 5 and extends her career high in points to 29. Chenecki's had it going all night, and she ends that little mini run at the free throw line by the Shockers with a made field goal over 30 points now. 31, as a matter of fact.
Perfect use of noises by Bridget Miranda. You know, when we record the games, I always try and record myself and Bridget on backup just in case there's an issue. And I think it's okay to every now and then play a clip that wasn't on air. This was during the wild first half against Houston.
Tied at 34. This is USF Women's Basketball, presented by Marathon on Bulls Unlimited.
This game is wild. What is going on?
Need some water.
I mean, I give Houston sticking right with it.
I'm going to grab a water real quick. It's going to be one of those.
I would still say go back and listen to that game if you haven't already. It was fantastic fun and filled with big-time performances. But as far as the weekly honors go, it was Elena Chenecki being the only representative on the Bulls. And I hate to say it, but there was one player for Memphis, scored 14 points. They don't have a conference win. And surely Elisa Pinzon should have been on the team over this player, but I'm not going to say her name because that's disrespectful. And I think the Bulls are getting plenty of respect. Anyway, national polls example, as I just said, have them at number 16. They're back at it tomorrow night, so we'll preview that one for you on tomorrow's show. And again, tonight at 8 o'clock, the new Brian Gregory show. And on Bulls Unlimited 2, we're debuting a new classic all day long. In this case, it's a classic pair of games that were back-to-back March 2018 during the American Athletic Conference tournament at USF. Both walk-off victories. Really thrilling stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Bulls Unlimited for the airtimes. Next, my conversation with Bob Buthorn, the men's soccer coach whose team really gets it going today. As you'll hear, they kind of got started on Monday, but they're going to get started with their season. Well, we discussed the schedule, among other things, next on Bulls Beat.